This is the Cardboard Cave Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Cardboard Cave Podcast. Tonight we are going to be talking about Mark Rosewater's little teaser list that he has for Brothers War, especially that tomorrow as well we are going to be having the MTG weekly stream talking about Brothers War as well. So pay attention to our social media like that. You guys can be up to date to all of the spoilers that are going to be happening tomorrow. Just want to give you guys a very shoddy reminder. Remember, if you guys want to spice up your commanders, it's really easy. Just go ahead and check out altersleeves.com/commander cardboard cave, and as well you guys can use our affiliated link or our code that you guys can get 5% off your order, and as well you will be supporting us. As well, we do have our merch store, so just go ahead, check out our merch store. We have great shirts and hoodies for all of you in all sizes as well. So just pass by like that. You guys can get your merch rocking the Cardboard Cave merchandise everywhere and anywhere. But lastly, but not least, guys, I just have to tell you guys that this November 16th, got to tell you guys, is going to be an important date. Why? Because we have special guest star Lua Stardust is going to be joining us Commander Night. So November 16 at 9 p.m. we're going to be playing some Commander with Lua Stardust. As well, she did mention in her social media that if you guys want to join her in Commander games, go ahead and join her at the major event in Las Vegas, M30. So see you guys on November 16th, and plus we have great content always available for all of you. So let's go ahead and present all of our hosts and co-hosts. Well, I'm not gonna say co-hosts, all of our hosts of this amazing podcast, because we are, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it, because we are the number one Magic the Gathering podcast here in Puerto Rico. So nothing less, we're gonna go ahead and present the master of the jank, the one and only Chris.
Hey, how's it going, my guys?
How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you too well. What was that?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Actually, I learned a bunch of new like rules related things to Magic today, so that's always really fun. The thing about Magic is you just keep learning new stuff about it every day. But
I think we can
go ahead and introduce our next guest. Well, not
yes,
guest.
Give me one second, because I see that. Give me one second. Let me just go ahead and join Chris with a piece of artwork.
Ah, there we go. That's not going to be my commander though. I got surprises incoming.
Okay, so let's go ahead and present the master of the dark arts himself, JP. Just in case you're muted.
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up?
I was gonna say he's gonna talk, but he's muted.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing today? I hope you guys are doing amazing.
I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome.
Test out something. So let's go ahead. Pretty fun.
Oh shit!
It's actually fun. I don't think it's strong. I think it's strong in 1v1, maybe, but I think it's
yeah.
Just
I
fun.
Understand. I understand. Okay, let's go ahead and just go straight to the list. Blam, bada beam, bada boom. Here you go. This is the Maro's The Brothers War teaser. Before previews officially begin, wink wink, previews do begin tomorrow with the weekly MTG show. So first up, here are some things that you can expect in Brothers War. Over 10 legendary human artificers that, to be honest, we're gonna go ahead, there were I couldn't find the third card, but there were two cards that were already spoiled this week, and as well there was one white card, but I couldn't find it. So I know it's pretty powerful card for two mana white. But guys, over 10 legendary human artificers. What do you guys think about that?
I'm off the top of my head, I'm trying to see if I can name them, because I'm just thinking you got Mishra, Ashnod, Tanos, and Urza, and that's four of them. Probably Herkel, maybe Baron, but Baron's not really an artificer. He's just a wizard. So that's like five right there off the top of my head.
I mean, are like the Urza and Mishra cards included in that head count that Mara's giving them?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm assuming that yes.
It says over 10, so it's like,
yeah.
But what do they mean by over 10? Like, are we getting like 15
12,
of them? Are we
11,
getting like
maybe
only three of them that are worth running?
Probably, yeah. Oh. Because remember that in these past sets, they have been focusing a lot on like adding legendary creatures to the sets, like that commander players can be happy.
Yes.
So the next one is another card with end turn. End the turn. That's interesting.
I'm just like, what, three, four? Four cards off the top of my... No, five. Damn, there's a bit. There's a bit of few cards.
Isn't there a commander that does that?
Yeah, Omega.
Tap and turn? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That would be good. I don't know. That would be kind of interesting, depending on what color they're going to run it, though. It would be interesting. What do you think, Chris?
Same thing. Like, I'm pretty sure it's probably just going to be either a blue card or an artifact. I want to say it's going to be an artifact, because like, you know, it's like an artificer theme set, so it'd be kind of cool. Was an artifact. If not, my other speculation would be something like maybe like Teferi related, and it's a spell, like a sorcery or an instant.
Okay. Anything else that you want to add, JP?
No. I'm excited for the next one, though.
A command with X in its mana cost.
A command implies that it is a cycle, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, cycle commands are always fun. Commands.
That would be kind of cool.
Urza's command.
I just hope
command.
That we're not getting teased with like the worst of them. You know what I mean?
Generally, these have pretty good ones usually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be cool. It would be interesting to have like a cycle of each color, and each one does like something very crazy, or like usually some of them are super very good, and then there's like the other ones that are like, it's fine. They're there.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like that's still like something that's like to be expected from a cycle, because they interact really differently in standard too. Like sometimes we tend to judge cards a lot about like based on their value in commander.
Well, isn't it commander the only format in Magic?
Almost, man. I think we do have a comment back here.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. From Mangel Rios del... Oh, Mangel Rios del... I don't know if I'm like...
Bro, those cookies in the background are giving me ASMR. Lo, I miss those noises.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, I gotta say, anybody that has, you know... I think anybody that has a podcast might have... I think unless you have like the most expensive microphone out there, the cookies will be like there no matter what.
Oh yeah.
Okay, the next one in the list is a spell that mimics an element of the effect of a creature that was originally printed with the picture of a world champion on it. Wait, isn't that the Strixhaven card?
No, because there's several world champion cards. Dark Confidant was originally a world champion card. Solemn Simulacrum was originally a champion card. Elite Spellbinder is also one. I might be missing
another one.
I'm probably missing another one, but
Yeah. Well, isn't the Strixhaven one that based on a world champion as well?
Yes, the Elite Spellbinder.
Yeah. I don't know. This sounds interesting. I just I don't know which. I'm assuming
we have so many of those cards. Like one of the old ones.
That would be cool. That would be really, really cool. What do you say, Chris?
I just don't have any clue right now of like what a world champion like picture could be on there. I just really got nothing here.
Okay.
I thought about it actually during the weekend, but I just could not like not during the weekend, sorry, like during the week I was thinking about it and I just couldn't come up with anything.
Oh, okay. That's understandable. Well, so sometimes one gives it a lot of thinking and then you're like, yeah, sure, whatever. Just surprise me, please.
Yeah.
Give me a good card and we'll be happy. Okay, the next one. I'm really interested in this one because you guys know that I am. I love Planeswalkers. So, a Teferi with a new way to gain loyalty counters.
I am assuming that it's something like whenever you cast your second spell each turn, put a loyalty counter, or whenever you draw your second card, something like that.
Look, we just gotta make it a Teferi with a minus 20, and then just make it gain a counter every time you cast an artifact.
A minus 20?
Yeah.
Jesus. Just
cast 20 artifacts and you're done. It's fine.
You imagine that the effect is that if you cast like I would say the same thing as what JP said, but something like creature or type specific.
Like an artifact creature or something?
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Teferi is gonna be creature based. It'd definitely be really different if it was a creature based Teferi. Usually it's like either blinking permanents or having to do with like instants and sorceries or just we have three fairy which just says stop.
Messing with the timing of the game. So next one on the list is equipment with equipped soldier.
That's probably very strong for a soldier tribal, otherwise it wouldn't specify.
Soldier tribal, and I think a lot of equipment decks would benefit from it, because there's like a few soldiers, not a few, there's actually a good handful of soldiers that benefit from equipment.
The new one. The new one is Muriel Vigilant Watcher, I think. I'm not sure about the name. She's white for a 2/2 legendary creature human soldier. During your turn, your opponents can't cast spells, activate enchantments, or lands, no, enchantment artifact or creature abilities. And when she attacks, you make X11 soldier artifact creature tokens. I can't remember what the condition for making them, but yeah, that's what she does. And she's really broken because she's basically Grand Arbiter, Grand Abolisher, but better.
Yeah. Yeah, I friggin' love her, dude. She looks amazing. I was thinking of just how fun it would be to just put her in the Joyra deck, because I was thinking... Not Joyra, sorry. What's his face? Joda. Like, the new Joda? I was thinking of attempting to make a legendary Stacks deck, essentially. Which wouldn't work with...
That sounds interesting.
But... yeah, it just kind of made me think about that. Just having more legendary creatures that have similar effects to non-legendary creatures, just essentially being able to make a lot of archetypes within like legendary creature types. I forget how they named that, but yeah.
Neat.
Buenas noches, caballero. Meca guipero. Que lo que.
I kind of want to skip forward because I just read it, and I had read it before, but I just kind of just got it. It's like one colored artifact, a singular colored artifact. Every other artifact in the set is not colored, but this one's colored. Actually, it's gonna be red.
Red.
I don't know why. It's just a feeling.
You think it could be red? Really? Yep. Couldn't it be another color?
I mean, it could be. It's likely to be blue or white, but red, I think that with the theme that like Standard has right now, like I think it would kind of work out.
Wait, what's that? A new annulet. What's an annulet?
I have no idea what an annulet is. I didn't even know we had annulets.
I don't know what an annulet is.
It's like some kind of weird pun for amulet, I swear.
Yeah. And then we got Protection from Everything Returns. Last card I remember with Protection from Everything is Progenitus.
Yo. So much fun. Like
yeah, that is true. Progenitus.
No, actually, no. There's mini
I remember.
Mini Progenitus. Hex Drinker, is it? Hex, the snake?
Ah, yes.
Yeah, snake game that came out of Modern Horizons 1, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris, I would need you to take control of the podcast while I assist the crying baby.
That is completely understandable. So, yeah.
Okay.
The one that I liked earlier. Yeah, go ahead.
If anything, this is going to be sounding so funny when we post this on audio. So if anything, I'm going to have my headsets on. So if you guys need me to scroll down, just say that I have my headsets on.
Oh, sure thing.
Okay. Awesome. This is the best podcast ever.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we got a white creature that taps to let you and opponent draw a card.
Wait, where's that at?
Oh, after protection from everything returns. As long as the creature is like 1 mana, maybe 2 mana. If it's like 1 mana and lets you draw a card, as long as you tap it for like 1 mana, that's actually really stupid strong. Because even in mono white, you just really wouldn't care.
Yeah. Actually, that does sound like a great idea. I do hope it's a 1 mana creature.
There's a 1 mana creature that you pay 1 white mana to tap and tap and
it'd be great if that was the one colored artifact. It's just the white artifact.
It's a white white creature.
Hell yeah.
So if you do that, yeah, that'd be nice.
I really enjoy
next here are some rules text that will be showing up on cards. Next one is create a tapped power stone token for each other creature you control.
So we already know it's gonna be put on a creature. That's like for sure.
Yes, because of the wording. I'm assuming a 6 mana, 5 mana creature. Maybe more, depending on how scared they are for tapped Power Stone tokens.
What color do you think that's going to be?
Colorless.
Colorless, okay. Oh, right. Wait, actually, does it have to be an artifact creature?
It's creating Power Stone token, so I'm assuming it's going to be an artifact creature. Next one is put a +1/+1 counter on target assembly worker you control. Considering how we have the land that makes an assembly worker, I'm assuming we're gonna have more assembly workers.
It'd be funny to see like the return of like decks that are running man land starting to win in Standard.
Next one is whenever one or more creatures with mana value 3 or less enter the battlefield near control, do something. I'm assuming. You do something. Just whenever 3 or more. It's like whenever one or more. That's probably going to be a strong card. I don't know why. I have a feeling about that. Next card is also probably going to be very strong because permanents you control have ward, sacrifice a permanent. Because it includes itself.
Wait, what do you mean?
The permanent reads: permanents you control have ward, sacrifice a permanent.
Interesting.
This could be on a sorcery or an instant, but I don't think it would make sense since Ward should Ward is not
sorcerer reactive. Definitely doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because even then, because Ward is not supposed to be reactive. It's because even if I'm already targeting it, Ward just doesn't care. It's like I don't care about Ward. It's right. Already targeted.
Yeah.
Next spell will be whenever you cast
that's artifact pretty, spell. I feel like that's kind of it's like super strong though.
If it's on a permanent, then yes, depending on how much it's cost. I'm assuming it's gonna be black or black blue.
I don't feel like mono black would punish you for targeting it, and like not like that, not sacrificing a permanent level.
That's very much black.
I think like my problem with it is that I think it's too strong in black. Not too strong, but just really strong in black. People like going around playing stuff like tier grid would definitely become a lot more relevant.
Yeah,
on this thing's mana cost.
I mean, tier grid is already terrifying.
Yeah.
So, whenever you cast an artifact spell with mana value 6 or greater, and you do something, assuming you draw a card or create a 4/4 golem or a 6/6 golem or do something, make a creature. I don't know. That's maybe exalt.
It'd be fun to copy a spell.
Copy it. That's a nice one. Yeah.
Copy would be nice, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of like the theme of the set because I'm really hoping that it's mostly artifact based, but I also noticed that the Urza like reduces the cost of instant sorceries and artifacts. So I think I assume the set is going to be heavy in both.
The next card is for each card type among non-creature spells you've cast this turn. Assuming. Why do I always assume just draw a card or create that many Power Stone tokens or make you create that many treasures? Or no, I think they're not gonna be using treasures much considering they have Power Stones and that works more on theme.
I originally thought the Ashnod was gonna have colorless zombie.
The Ashnod that was revealed was the commander deck Ashnod.
You think there's gonna be another Ashnod though?
Yes.
I'm hoping there is.
There is another Ashnod. Oh, okay. The other Ashnod is called Ashnod Flesh Machinist.
Ooh.
Or Mechanist. More of a Machinist. Next card is create a tap 3/3 color zombie artifact creature token.
You make it tap so that you know it's on the slab when it comes. It's like coming off of the slab.
Next card is look at the cards in each pile, then turn a pile of your choice face up. I'm assuming this is very similar to a factor 15 type card. So, your opponent separates, reveal the type, look at the top five, your opponent's. Mm-hmm. Your opponent puts like five cards of yours in piles, then you just choose a pile, look at the piles, and then turn one flip side up, and then they choose which one they give you.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is gains your choice of flying, vigilance, death touch, or haste. Next one is whenever you cast a beast or bird creature spell. That's interesting.
Yeah. I hope that's it's a legendary just so you can make it just so I can make a commander out of beasts and birds. It would definitely make the like making a deck out of it a lot easier too.
And the creature types. An artifact creature ape, that's probably the new
Simian Spirit Guide.
A creature mole horror.
So
we got the artifact creature Phyrexian worm. We got creature Phyrexian human assassin. Creature Minotaur barbarian. Creature elf druid soldier. Creature human artificer scout. Legendary creature. Human wizard advisor, which is probably gonna be Baron. and legendary creature human artificer advisor, which is probably going to be Hercule. And then a legendary creature elf druid scout. Baron is the master wizard. That's why I feel like, and Baron's always been like very known for his wisdom in the lore. So I'm assuming he's going to be the advisor. And also more advisors. That's they're also a cool creature type, considering like it's the petitioners. They work with advisors. So Baron's obviously going to be blue, and Hercule's also going to be blue. The elf druid scout's green with maybe another color, but green. Elf druid scout kind of reminds me legendary creature, and this is when they gain their planeswalker sparks. Maybe this is a creature version of Freyalies. So if I am correct, then that would be Baron, Master, Baron, Freyalies, and Hercule.
Baron, Freyalies, and Hercule. Freyalies has a creature? Is that a planeswalker?
Freyalies does not have a creature version of herself. She's like, we've always had.
But did she like turn into a planeswalker before or after? You know, like the events of these guys just going the whole Urza thing, you know,
I'm not too savvy on the lore. I know she like, you know, people don't start up as
they don't start up as like planeswalkers.
As planeswalkers, you're not born a planeswalker.
I mean, theoretically. And are, but I understand what you mean.
Yes.
You could have just gone like the Aminato route about it.
Isn't Aminato not technically alive or something like that?
She is a time bending child, or almost reality bending child, actually. Forgot how that exactly works out, but I don't know, you know what, I can't remember, but she's really cool. I think she was essentially able to view herself like through time and stuff, and she's able to manipulate fate from what I remember. So, I'm actually trying to think what else is going on this week. Actually, the professor finally put out his video talking about the Magic 30 thing. I don't know if you've already gotten the chance to spot that.
No, I haven't. But I do have something. Oh, yes. Those are the two cards from the Commander decks that were revealed. Thanos, Solemn Survivor. Look at him. He looks so old and aged after Ashnod tortures him. It has to be after Ashnod tortures him. Like, if you take a photo of Thanos, the Urza's apprentice, next to that, like, he looks. That's why he's the Solemn Survivor. He survived Ashnod. And then Ashnod the Uncaring. Also, Ashnod's technically supposed to be, like, in love with Thanos. In her own demented way.
Yeah, I remember that much. So, maybe that's the only reason why he's alive.
Probably. She wanted to keep playing with her toy. I was talking about this Ashnod a lot, and I was kind of underwhelmed, but the more I talked about it, the more I liked it. So let's talk about it. I want to talk about Ashnod first, because of course I want to talk about Ashnod first.
Definitely.
Okay. Ashnod the Uncaring. 2 blue, black, and red for a legendary creature, human artificer, 1/4 death toucher. Whenever you activate an ability of an artifact or creature that isn't a mana ability, if one or more permanents were sacrificed to activate it, you may copy that ability. You may choose new targets for the copy. when I was thinking about this, I was like thinking, oh, she just copies the ability, but no. Okay. So she's Tesa Karlov for sacrifice in artifacts and creatures. She's the Panharmonicon for sacrificing. And when you think about it that way, you're like, ah, that's broken.
Yeah.
Because there has to be like very, very cute interactions. So Mindslaver.
And she's a legendary.
Of course. So Mindslaver is an artifact where you pay 5 mana to play it and 4 mana to sacrifice it.
It's 6 mana.
It's 6 mana? 6 mana to play and 4 mana to sacrifice?
Yeah.
So 6 mana to play, 4 mana to sacrifice, and you gain control of someone's turn. Ashnod would copy it. If you have a Strionic Resonator, you can trigger, Ashnod will trigger, and that's a trigger that Strionic Resonator can copy, and then you would copy it again. So you have 3 triggers, and you can take control of the entire table. If you have an Academy Ruins or another way to bring it back consistently every single turn, that's GG, because you just take control of everyone's turn every single turn. And the other thing is, you don't need Strionic Resonator. This is the thing I found cool about it. Rings of Brighthearth. Mm-hmm. So the detail with Rings of Brighthearth is that you can only copy activated abilities, and Ashnod the Uncaring is a triggered ability. But what she cares about activated abilities. So when you activate,
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, they're a little bit far away, muffled, but you said, but we can hear you.
So, when you activate the Mindslaver, you can copy it for 2 more mana. And then Ashnod will also copy it, so then you have 3 copies. And as long as you have something like an Academy Ruin to keep placing it back, you need enough mana, of course. That's it's pretty mana intensive, but it's a nasty way to gain control of 2 people's turns.
Yeah.
At minimum, at max, at best, you just can't gain control of everyone's turns.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things like blood tokens. Blood tokens now read: pay 1 mana, discard a card, sacrifice the blood token, and then draw 2 cards.
Yeah.
So 1 mana draw, sorry, 1 mana discard a card, draw 2 for each blood token. Is pretty good, considering there's a few cards that actually make, like, there. I was looking at the like blood token makers after I figured that out, and some of them are pretty decent. The thing is that blood tokens just kind of suck, because you're just filtering through the cards, not actually gaining more cards. They're not bad. I feel like blood tokens are better.
Hey guys, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Yes, we can.
Awesome. Great.
You know, I think
I am improvising. I'm with my AirPods.
Okay. I think blood tokens are better than clues, because 1 mana is better than 2, and also discarding can be a plus side. But it doesn't gain you a card. This way, Ashnod is making you gain a card, and that's actually quite significant.
Yeah.
Kind of sad that Ashnod doesn't synergize with Ashnod's Altar. That's kind of like a flavor fail. Hopefully the next one, like the Flesh Mechanist, synergizes.
I would hope she's like closer to either functioning like an Altar rather than like just synergizing with it, maybe.
I hope she has like a something sacrifice ability type thing, but I am not. I'm happy with what I get.
Understand.
And I just want her to sacrifice, you know. Speaking of sacrifice, it's interesting that Thanos, the Solemn Survivor, also does that, because he's 1 and a blue for a legendary creature, human artificer, 1/3. You can pay 2 mana and tap him to create a token that's a copy of another target artifact token you control. And then you mill 2 cards.
Like, I was gonna make Urza, but I almost want to make, like, Thanos instead.
And then you pay 1 white, blue, and black to sacrifice 2 artifact tokens, and you exile an artifact or creature card from your graveyard and create a token that's a copy of the exalt card. Except it's an artifact in addition to its other types, and you can only activate this as a sorcery. So there's several things about Thanos that are pretty cool. One, he really cares about artifact tokens. so you can really make him like an artifact token commander. But you don't really need that much. All you really need is two, and then after that you can just keep on copying the same one. So there's a
Soul Ring and milling cards.
There's a card called Corridor Monitor. Corridor Monitor is one in a blue for a 1/4. When it enters the battlefield, you untap target artifact or creature. You have Corridor Monitor in your graveyard, which this is the funny part. You have Ashnod's Altar in play, and Ashnod's Altar actually works very well with Thanos. So what you do is you pay 2 mana.
You have to copy.
You sacrifice the two artifact tokens, right? Exile the Corridor Monitor, make a copy of him. Untap Thanos. Pay 2 mana to copy the Corridor Monitor. The monitor enters, untapping Thanos. You sacrifice the copy to Ashnod's Altar, pay 2 mana, and keep on going. You can mill your entire deck with this combo. What do you do with your milled entire deck? Yay! You do the
Thassa's Oracle.
You do the most fun card in all of Magic. Yay! You can use Thassa's Oracle. You sacrifice 3. So you decide to make one more a Corridor Monitor. Sacrifice Thanos and both Corridor Monitors to Dread Return and reanimate. Thassa's Oracle, and you just win the game. Yay! This requires 6 mana to start, and an Ashnod's Altar, and like it's quite a few cards to get it going, which is why I enjoy that it takes so much to make it go. But it's still, it's a Thassa's Oracle win, so it's also meh. But he's very interesting. Thanos is very, very interesting.
Do any of you have the art for the white card?
I do. I shall be...
The art for the white card.
Yeah, because the white card that was spoiled today is really interesting. The white card is 2 white.
Well, there you go. I sent it to our chat, but sent to our Facebook chat. But is Myril Shield of Argive?
Give me 1 second while I look for it.
I was pretty correct. Okay. So, Myril Shield of Argive, she's white for a 2/2 legendary creature, human soldier. During your turn, your opponents can't cast spells or activate abilities of artifacts, creatures, or enchantments. Whenever Myril Shield of Argive attacks, create X 1/1 colorless soldier artifact creature tokens, where X is the number of soldiers you control.
Fun.
She is Grand Abolisher on a stick, and also Soldier Tribal. She's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like the fact
the evolution of bear, like white bears, and this is the latest expression of it.
Yeah. This is pushed. This is like power creep is real.
Yep.
This is going to be used in standard. So
standard commander. Maybe modern. It's a human.
Brand Abolisher does run in a few modern decks, I think. Just like a copy or two.
Legacy.
Soldier Tread. Fun.
Will you have this as your commander or as your 99?
I would have it in the 99, but definitely I'm also trying to probably changing my my CDH list, where I have the Grand Abolisher, I'm changing it to the Divergent Transformation lists and running only two creatures. So I'm changing that.
So what do you guys think of at least what we have for now of Brothers War?
Ashnod, I like her. I want her. I also like Thanos. Very combo-y. It's very, very, very reminiscent of Osgear as well. But I kind of need to see that Ashnod Flesh Mechanist. I really want to see how strong it is, if it is strong at all.
Yeah.
I hope she is, really.
I'm really interested in this set. This set sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm mostly interested in seeing what, like, you know, the artifacts that are going to come out. Like, legendary creatures are always exciting, but it's an artifact set, so that's what I really just really, really am excited about, just to see what I can cook up, because I've been messing around with artifacts a lot lately.
I don't mess around with artifacts that much, but I am interested in that Teferi, though. That Teferi is what's catching my eye. I hope that it's good. That's what I would say. That's all I hope.
So, how long has it been since we've had a bad Teferi in a set, though?
Because last Teferi was like the Sunset Teferi, and that's pretty good. Yeah. And then after that,
I would say he's probably like the worst of the recent ones, and he's still really good.
And then the 3-mana Teferi, really, which is stupid in 1v1, and then the 5-mana Teferi, which took over Standard when it was
the 4-mana Teferi, which didn't really take over Standard, but is absolutely busted in group play. Ashnod.
You mean Ashnod? Oh,
it's Twitch. You can't say it.
You can't say the word.
Can't say the word on Twitch.
It's true. You can't say the word on Twitch. Big no no. So guys, so for everybody that's listening to us, this is the we're going to go ahead and start playing our Commander Night game, because the podcast will be available for all of you tomorrow. And pay attention to our social media, because we're going to be posting all of the preview cards from tomorrow's stream.
Remember to follow, like, subscribe to be notified, and as well listen to us on all major audio platforms. Thanks for joining us.